Deception, love, hate, number 3B.
You know, people get upset that I call names. I learned it from my teacher, Jesus. When a name needs to be called, I call names. When it doesn't, I use prudence and don't. But I just want you to see that it's scriptural to call names. Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, "Teacher, stay home." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. When neither one had anything with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, Simon, therefore, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose the one that he forgave the more." And he said unto him, "You have rightly judged." He turned to the woman. He said, "Simon, do you see this woman? Now listen to me. Jesus is about to teach Simon why he's lost and why he doesn't love Jesus. The woman, a great sinner, has come to Jesus loving him, and he's going to get saved. Simon, the Pharisee, does not love Jesus, and Jesus is going to show him why. And you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, and she has wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. She's humbled herself, hasn't she? Kissing his feet. Wiping his feet. She has humbled herself. She's not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, and they are many." Jesus didn't lie. He didn't cover it up. He told the truth. Because the truth is going to set her free. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven because she has loved much. In other words, Simon, you don't love me. That's why you didn't do these things. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. See, Simon, that's your problem. Now listen to me, y'all. Let me interpret this for you. Simon is a self-conceited Pharisee. He's the one just like the one in Luke 18:9. "God, I thank you, and I am not as other men. Look at that filthy sinner down there beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm not like him. Lord, let me tell you about my good deeds. I give alms to the poor. I fast all the time. Oh, Lord, let me..." He was a self-righteous hypocrite. God said he didn't go away from that altar that day with his sins forgiven. Now, let me show you what the true problem was. And it's true of every one of us in this room tonight. Hear me, beloved. The difference between the worst of us and the best of us is so close that there's almost an imperceptible difference. Because what we're comparing ourselves to is Jesus Christ. He is the standard. And when you compare Adolf Hitler, I'll put H for Hitler, and Floyd, F for Floyd, and Y for you, the truth is, all of us are so unlike Jesus. When we were lost, especially, we were so far from being like him that the gap was so huge that you could hardly tell the difference between any of us. Now, if only you looked at Hitler and only looked at me, I come out looking pretty good. You can see a big difference between Hitler if Hitler is the standard. But once Jesus is the standard, the very best of us compared to the worst of us, there's not much. There is a difference, but not much. Imperceptible almost. And that was this Pharisee's problem. Now you hear this, beloved. What Jesus just told him and teaches here is that Pharisee and that prostitute, she may probably was a prostitute, that they were both so close to being as wicked. But the difference was the Pharisee didn't see that God had forgiven him much. He didn't see he was as wicked as that woman and deserved to go to hell. Therefore, he had no ability to love God much until you, Bert, see that you deserve to go to hell for all eternity. That's what you deserve. You'll never love God much. Some years back, at a full gospel convention, a regional convention, about 7 years ago in Houston. I was there. And they had some men get up and give testimonies. They were tremendous testimonies about how God had saved them from their life of wickedness. Finally, about the third or fourth man came up, and he said, "Well, I really don't know much what to say." He said, "I've heard these men, and I'm glad that God has saved them, and I've heard how wicked they were and how God has saved them. I'm very happy for them, but I never was bad. I've never been a wicked person. I've been in church all my life. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad God has saved me. But I really don't have much of a testimony to give." He's right. He didn't. But not for the reason he thought. A.J. McGuirt was with me that night. And the moment that guy said it, I nudged A.J. and I said, "Ooh, that guy is so wicked, he still doesn't see how wicked he is. He is deceived. That man does not understand that he deserves hell. He is so wicked. And he doesn't love God very much. He can't, because he's never seen how wicked he is, so that he can see clearly he deserves to go to hell. And then when he realizes he's never going there because of Jesus, that would let him respond with great love back to Jesus, like this prostitute. She loved him much because she knew, she understood, she had been forgiven much. In other words, when God showed her she was a sinner, she really admitted it. She confessed it was the truth and repented. And when she did, God took away the deception from her heart that was telling her, all the girls are doing it. They're either selling it or giving it away. At least you're being honorable enough to make a living off of it. Yeah, I've had girls tell me things like that. When she quit lying about it, "Oh, I have to. My husband died and I've got 6 kids. There's no other way except prostitution to support them." I had girls tell me that. That's a lie, also deception. Hated God or they wouldn't have been deceived. This girl saw the truth because when God showed it to her, she believed it. She received it. And God took away the veil of blindness and she says, "Oh, I'm even worse than I thought." And when she saw that, and she surrendered her heart to God, suddenly she loved God a bushel and a peck. But this Pharisee didn't. Because in his self-deception of his self-righteousness, he didn't think that he really had many sins to be forgiven of. So naturally, since he didn't think God had ever forgiven him very much sin debt, he didn't love God much. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling him. He said unto her, "Your sins are forgiven." Verse 48. Those who sat at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" You see, listen to me, beloved. The next statement is devastating. Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I've got 2 things to say about that. Observe. He said, "Your faith has saved you, not your works." Now, it's important, you Catholics in here. She has done some good works. She bathed his feet, anointed him with oil. But he didn't say her works saved her. He said her faith saved her. Step one. Therefore, salvation is by faith and faith in Jesus only. Works only show that the heart has been changed. They're the outward evidence. Now Simon, the Pharisee, he saw her works. But Jesus saw her faith. Notice it doesn't say, "Your faith has saved you if..." Did you see that, Christians? The Scripture does not say, like many of your denominations say, "Your faith has saved you if you never take another drink, never pinch Sally again, go to Sunday school every Sunday, never cuss again, don't dip, don't chew. If you're water baptized in the name of Jesus only." Did you see all this? Do you see he didn't put an if? Ta-dum. Do you see how easy Jesus has made salvation? But I must say something else so that you don't get miss the whole point. Someone says, her faith saved, her faith saves. No, it doesn't. Faith does not save. Faith is a verb. Please look at the context of the whole scriptures. What was her faith in? That if she washed his feet, she'd be saved? Look at verse 47. I say unto you, your sins, which are many, are forgiven because she loved much. Who did she love? Who was the object of her love? Jesus. It was her faith in Jesus that saved her. Not faith. Faith didn't save her. Do you see that? Can you see that? He said your faith saved you, but you read the context above it and you can put it in context. It was faith in Jesus that saved. If she had put her faith in Simon, she'd still be lost. You see, her love was evidenced by her deeds. Now listen to me as I reap this up. Reap in the harvest. I have a question for every one of us tonight. For us. Jesus asks a question of every one of us. Who will love me most? Stephen, now we got a contest going. Jesus asks us all, who will love me most? John, I've got to tell you how. You cannot love God more than your ability to see how much He has forgiven you. Do you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. He said, I'm the worst sinner that ever walked the planet. I've got a question for us all. Why was Paul's devotion so great to the gospel of Jesus Christ? You'd think if anybody was going to give up on a religion, Paul would have done it. I mean, he was going great as long as he was staying with Judaism. Nobody was after him. Beaten with 39 stripes, shipwrecked, jailed many times, stoned to death and brought back to life at Lystra. Why was Paul's devotion to Jesus so great? I'm going to tell you why. Because God, by revelation, showed Paul his own heart. If any man should have thought that he really didn't have much to go to be saved, because he was so religious to start with, it would have been Paul, like this guy that I told you at the Full Gospel. Incidentally, I saw him 2 years later, and he came to me for private counseling. He didn't know me. I recognized him. And he told me, you know, he says, I'm so dry. He says, the scriptures are so dry. He says, I'm not close to God. I want to be. And he was in charge of a Full Gospel chapter. And he was so miserable. And you see, now do you see the love of God? I had known for 2 years what his problem was, just never had the chance to tell him. I was sitting out in the audience that night. 2 years later, God dropped me right in his lap. And he asked me. I couldn't help but tell him. And I told him what the problem was. I reminded him of exactly what he said and told him what his problem was. You don't see that you're as wicked as the prostitutes. I started talking to him about his thought life, his fantasies. See, this woman saw that she was a great debtor. She had tremendous debts of sin. It took revelation to see that. And when God gave her the revelation by the Holy Spirit, the conviction, she accepted it as true. Therefore, she was no longer deceived and came to the love of God. When God, by revelation, showed Paul his own heart, he agreed with God. He was not deceived. He was humble to the point that he called himself the chief of sinners. Are you ready for this? Who will love God the most in this room tonight? Paul saw how much he was forgiven of, and that was what brought out the fantastic response of devotion. Tonight, God has dealt with us all, showing us the wickedness of our heart, because our heart, apart from walking with God, is not like what we read about the love of God in Corinthians 13 and in Galatians 5. You saw, and I saw me, in those works of the flesh. That's That is exactly what I was like. Licentiousness, lasciviousness, impure thoughts, envy, lust, all that stuff. The difference between me and Hitler is just a shade. And the one of you and the ones of us in here that will love the Lord the most, Brother Kyler, it's when he shows you what you really are and what you really deserve and the fact that he loves you anyway. You'll feel like this woman. Your enormous debt has been forgiven. And that will bring out an enormous response of love back to God. Would you stand? The key is verse 43. And Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said, you have rightly judged. Which one of us in this room tonight has God forgiven the most? Now let me tell you this. You've got it figured out, haven't you? All the same. Yeah, that's it. All the same. And the only issue is, which ones of us are willing to admit that that's true? Well, I'm trying to show you it could end up a dead heat. And that is what God wants. Don't live in deception. Let God touch us. Now, don't anyone in this room leave this room tonight defeated. This is a good night. A good night. These have been good words we've read. God wants you to leave. Hey, you had some serious moments, some sober moments. But as a result of this teaching, I mean this, we literally ought to be skipping and dancing out of here. God forgave me the most. Woo! I mean, you can make like a Pentecostal if you want to. Hallelujah! You Baptists, it's okay. You can loosen up every now and then, you know. Hallelujah. I'm going to dismiss you with a word of prayer. If you're in here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, it's okay on the way out. You can just, while we pray, you can invite Him into your heart. Or if you're not sure you know what you're doing, well, just grab some of the fellows or girls on the way out. Most of the people in here are saved. I know most of them. And just ask them, look, I don't know Jesus. I don't have the love of God in my heart that Floyd was talking about tonight. Can you help me? Can you tell me what to do? Almost anybody in here can tell you what to do. And they can lead you in a sinner's prayer. So just don't worry about it if you don't get to come up to the great prophet, the magnificent teacher. If I'm not available, you're not in trouble. You don't need me, you just need Jesus. That's all you need. Let's pray. Father, you are our source. Father, we admit it. We have grieved and quenched your spirit. There's folks we just have not loved, and we lied about it and said we don't like them much. And you know the truth is, we don't even like them. We despise them, and that's hate. Father, cleanse us of that. Bring us to call it sin and to repent. Father, give us the grace right now to see how wicked we were and how much you've forgiven us of. Not so that we feel bad about how wicked we were, but that we feel so good about the fact that you loved us when we were your enemies and you love us now. And that you have said in Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, that your love never ceases. Father, just let those words ring like an echo chamber through our souls and our spirits right now. Your love for us never ceases. Thank you, Lord. Let that thought bring out a positive response from us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you.
The end of Deception, Love, Hate, number 3B.